We thank you for visiting Christian Bible Temple and pray the following message speaks to your heart.
Please open your Bibles once again today to Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. We'll try to finish what we began last week. This is what the Word of God says. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, we began these two verses last week, and we talked about the woman looking at the fruit, that it was good for food, that was physical, lust of the flesh. It was pleasant to the eyes. That's emotions, soul, desire of the eyes. And it was desirable to make one wise, mental and spiritual insight. That's the pride of life. And we talked about the fact that those are the three avenues where Satan attacks us. Okay? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Pride of life means I can do things by myself. I can solve everything. I don't need God, which is what this world does. That's humanism, okay? Self-sufficiency. You might be self-sufficient to perform a lot of things in this life, but you are not self-sufficient to go to heaven on your own without the Lord, okay? Oh, so the lust of the flesh is immorality, and the lust of the eyes is idolatry. And the pride of life, well, that's simply pride, okay? Now, the solution for the flesh, we found in some of the verses that I gave you last week, and also the solution for the eyes, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The solution for the flesh is discipline, self-discipline. There is a little word in many of the languages is the word no, okay, that we many times need to use. And the solution for the pride of life is humility. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So one is discipline. The other one is concentration on Jesus. And the last one is humility. Okay? Now here is the reason why we have many instructions about these three areas, so that our lives may be pleasing before the Lord, whose eyes beheld our first parents' fall. He does not want a mere profession only. Many people come to church and they think they are Christians because they come to church. I've been to many a garage. That doesn't make me a car. So you're not a Christian because you came to church this morning. And you were not born a Christian. Nobody's born a Christian. That's why the Lord says you must be born again. Okay? And you're not a Christian because you belong to a Bible-believing church. And you're not a Christian because you pray. And you're not a Christian because you read the Bible. And you're not a Christian because you give the offering at the plate. You're a Christian only when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and realize that it's none of you and that it's all of Him. Him and Him alone. Are we paying attention this morning? Look at me. Some of you have come in and you're just like, pay attention here. Look at me in the eyes. I want to look at you. Scare you to death. You are a Christian only when you put your trust and confidence completely on the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that without His sacrifice on the cross, there is no salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than the name of Jesus. Okay? Which, by the way, His name, Yeshua, in Hebrew, means God is my salvation. Okay? Now, we see here also that we need to note that the order used here is the same order God, Satan used to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. Look in your Bibles this morning, Matthew chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, both of the Gospels, same chapter number, give us the same story. In the first four verses of chapter 4 of Luke, the devil comes after the Lord hath fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And after you haven't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, some of us skip only one meal and we're starving to death, right? Here he is without water, without food for 40 days. And Satan comes. And you know what? That's why I said to you last week, he knows your weakness. Satan has got you figured out. Don't think you can put a fast one over on him, because he is smarter than you. You know why? Not because he is smarter, but because he is older. He's been here a lot longer than you and I have. And he knew that the Lord was hungry. So what does he say to him? He says, if you are the Son of God, no, the devil always uses the preposition if. And that entails what? Doubt. There's a possibility that you are not the Son of God. And he says, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, could the Lord Jesus have done that? Oh, yeah, he created the universe. The Son of God created the universe. Yeah, God the Father created the universe. And yes, God the Holy Spirit created the universe. But the agent through whom everything was created is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. And he could have very well made those stones bread. But what does he say? What is the Lord's reaction? Unlike Adam and Eve, he resisted the devil. Just like he tells us in James, resist the devil, submit to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Learn to say no. And the Lord used the word of God. The three times that he answered Satan, he answered him through the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy. I think that tells us that we should read that book a lot more often, don't you think? As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, we have what it's called the pivotal verse of Scripture. Hear, O Israel. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And you're going to hear the Jewish people repeat that time and again and again and again, all the time. Even when they are dying. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. I'm practicing so I can impress Eduardo when we get to Israel. What does it mean? It means, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. One, plural, because the word echad is one in plurality. That's a great book. So, what does Satan use to tempt the Lord physically? Bread. He knew he was hungry. He said, oh, if you're the Son of God, make bread out of these stones. If he had done that, he would have disqualified. He would have submitted to Satan, not to the Father. But Satan was in for a shock. He tried to discredit him, attacked him, and his tactics have not changed. Every sect, every religion that you hear out there that try to minimize the Lord Jesus Christ, they're of the devil. Because when you read the Word of God, at least when I read the Word of God, I see that the Father glorifies the Son. He exalts the Son. The Scriptures exalt the Son. And so the Lord wins here the first round. He punched him in the nose. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the devil takes a step back. And then he comes the second time, and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he says, bow down and worship me, and all these kingdoms shall be yours. As if the universe was not already his. But he's tempting him as a man. Don't forget that. He's not tempting him as God, because God cannot be tempted. He's tempting him as a man. And the Lord Jesus, again, he says from the book of Deuteronomy, it is written, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. Punch number two. So he doesn't give up, does he? Comes around the third time. And he says, he takes him to the pinnacle of the temple. When we get to Jerusalem, you're going to see where the pinnacle of the temple is. He says, throw yourself down from here, because it is written. Notice how shrewd Satan is. The Lord Jesus used Scripture the first two times. So what does Satan do now? He uses Scripture. But he twists it. Takes it out of context, like all the false religions and false cults do. Oh, they'll give you Bible verses, but out of context. Throw yourself down. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Quoting from Psalm 91. The devil knows the Scriptures, doesn't he? But he twists him. And the Lord answers him and says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Punch number three. And as we always used to say in church, the Lord won all three rounds. 3 times 3, 9 and 1, 10. Boom. Satan's out. And that's how you're going to conquer or resist, because you cannot conquer, but resist Satan. When he comes to tempt you, tell him no. One of the greatest joys in my life was when I learned to say no to so many things in the world and to say yes to God. Christ was tempted in everything, but without sin. We're told in Hebrews, His weapon, the Word of God. It wasn't like it wasn't like this with Adam and Eve. They forgot God's word, and as they listened and obeyed the enemy's lies, both fell in sin and ruin. Sin always wants company. Nobody sins by themselves. They all want company. You know why? Because when you have somebody else sinning with you, you feel better. And don't tell me no, because everybody's the same. Okay? If you don't believe me, read Proverbs chapter 1. Come, my son, listen to my counsel. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they just tell me, come, let us do this, do that. Like your friends out there. They're not friends. Oh. They want to incite you to do wrong. Eve ate, and then she gave to her husband, and he ate with her. In other words, he sinned the same as her and became responsible, for he had more responsibility and authority than her. That's why it says in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all, or because all, have sinned. For if by the one man's offense many died, that's Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And in 1 Corinthians it says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. Okay? So the first Adam fell. The second Adam did not. Now look at verse 7. In verse 7 of Genesis chapter 3, we see here two things. It says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Their eyes were open, just like Satan promised. Well, their eyes were opened, all right. But it was only to look at their shame, not to be like gods and understand everything. All of a sudden, everything changed. Appearance and what was perfect, holy, and clean before now became something imperfect, sinful, and dirty. Where sin enters, the curse also enters. Their genital organs became an object of shame, and all their descendants would be contaminated. That's the first thing. The eyes were open only to look at their nakedness. And secondly, man tries to cover his sin by his own efforts. They sewed fig leaves. They made themselves aprons to cover their private parts. But what's wrong? They were naked all the time before. All of a sudden, it's shameful. Why? Because the knowledge of good and evil entered in because of their disobedience. Okay? They sewed fig leaves and made themselves coverings. And that's why the prophet Isaiah says to us that all our righteousness is like filthy rags. The best you can do is just like filthy rags before God. Did you ever see? Ever see somebody, let's say, wounded, and they bandaged him with gauze? Yes? Seen that? Or maybe you cut yourself, you bandage them, and then you take that off? How does that look? Dirty. Disgusting. And if there's pus, look. Well, that's how our righteousnesses are in God's eyes. So it is awfully presumptuous for anybody to think that you can enter heaven through your good works. Let me tell it to you in 21st century English. It ain't happening. It is not my righteousness or your righteousness that will take us to heaven. It's Jesus' righteousness. That's it. The Apostle Paul knew it. He said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He was the greatest Christian that ever lived, probably. Inside of me, in my flesh, and if you know yourself, you know that that is true. Look at the babies. Look at babies when they're born. Do you have to teach your children how to lie? No, they'll teach you. How do they know that? Oh, that's because man is basically good. That's why we have locks on our doors. That's why we have a police department. That's why we should have armed forces at the border. Because man is basically good. We have notary publics to witness signatures. I remember years ago, two people made a deal. They just shook hands on it, and that was it. Now you can't trust anybody. You need notary publics. Why? Because people lie. They lie all the time. That's only proof, my friends. That's only proof that we are children of Adam, sinners, a fallen race. What is easier? Tell me the truth now. Is it easier to think good things or bad things? I'm waiting. Is it easier to think good things or bad things? Bad things, right? Somebody said good. Very naive. Innocent. Praise God. If you do that, please teach me how. Haven't learned yet. It's easier to think, especially to think about somebody else. It's so easy to think bad about somebody else, but it's so hard to think bad about you. We are all a bunch of saints. See, we're not sinners. It's the other people, the other person, not me. I don't need to argue the point, right? That's proof right there. We cannot escape God's judgment by doing things through our own efforts to justify ourselves. We must allow the Lord to cover us. We cannot do it. We cannot do it. Our fig leaves won't do. It is the Lord's covering that counts. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans to put on the Lord Jesus Christ on us, so that we can walk in His righteousness. Again, the prophet Isaiah tells us, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Who's the one doing the covering? The Lord. He has covered me with the garments of salvation. Isaiah 61 and verse 10. Again, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, he says, let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in obedience. Walk in the light. Do not fall prey to lust. You have problems with lust? Do you? Do you have problems with lust? If you don't, you ain't human. We all have problems with lust. Doesn't mean exactly the same kind of lust. But we all have weaknesses, don't we? So, you know what your weakness is, and so does the devil, so make no provision for it. Say again, say no. Okay? That's why Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? It means I am dead with him. I am dead with him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay? Let me say in parenthesis here that temptation is not sin. Some people confuse that. Oh, I was tempted, I sinned. No, not necessarily. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is the test. It becomes sin when you give in, when you fall into that temptation. So don't let the devil lie to you. Also, in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, we are told, put off concerning your former conduct, your former form of life, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Notice that Paul here is writing to the Ephesians, to the believers, not to unbelievers, to the believers, because all the epistles were written to the churches or to individuals that were believers. So the fact that we're saved doesn't mean that we are exempt from temptation, that we are exempt from sin, we're exempt from lust. It says, put off, put it off, okay? And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, don't walk according to the flesh, walk according to the spirit, in obedience to the word of God. Amen? That's what it means. Look at verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. In these three verses, we see the following things. Fellowship, as soon as sin entered in, fellowship is broken between God and man. Sin will always break fellowship between you and God and between you and other believers. First of all, man and woman, it says, they were afraid. What happened all of a sudden? Proverbs tells us that the wicked flee when no man pursueth. How many crooks out there did not give themselves away? Why? Because they're walking down the street, you know, all of a sudden they see a police car and they start running. Now the police is not after them. They were just probably patrolling the area. And so the police see somebody running. What are they going to do? They're going to chase them. Years ago, I remember somebody. She had three kids at the time. And the youngest one was maybe 4 or 5. He did something wrong. Things kids do. And he was begging his mother, please don't tell daddy. When he comes home tonight, please don't tell daddy. Don't tell daddy. Okay, I won't tell daddy. Relax, it's fine. So what happens? That evening, the father comes through the door. And what does this little guy do? He goes and hides in the closet. And the father says, what happened? What did I do? See? He gave himself away. And that's what Adam and Eve did. And that's what we do. You know why we give ourselves away? Because it's called a dirty conscience. Because guilt comes in after we sin. Let me tell you. You know that. I don't have to even prove it to you. You do something wrong, do you feel good or bad? Feel bad, right? That's called guilt. Sin always brings guilt. Righteousness always brings peace. Okay? All of a sudden, man and woman were afraid. We see here that seemingly God would walk regularly in the garden. I mean, he did it before, taking on perhaps a human likeness, for man was created according to his image and likeness. And this was a continuous theophany. That means the appearance of God. God came, he appeared. The pre-incarnate Word would come to have fellowship with his creatures. You say, well, how do you know he was the Son of God? I'll tell you how I know. Because the Father is invisible. He is the image. As we are told in Hebrews, the image of the Father. That's why he told Philip, show us the Father, he says. And the Lord said to him, what? Have I been so long with you, Philip, and you do not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. I read something beautiful by Oswald Chambers the other day. He said, God does not manifest himself to his children. He manifests himself in his children. Need I repeat that? He doesn't manifest himself to you. He manifests himself in you. If you are a believer, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and your confidence is in him, you will show it through your life that God is in you. People want to see visions. No. It doesn't happen. The best vision people can have is your life. I just lost my uncle's wife died in Greece this past week. She was 96 years old. You should see the eulogies they wrote about her. She was a believer. How she gave, left behind a testimony of Christ. How she was so humble, served everybody. My uncle, whom you met, Gus, is in Greece. He got there 1 week before she died. And he told us the other day on the phone, said, we walk down the streets in our town, our city. And they stop us every so often, people, to give us condolences about her passing. Everybody knew her in the city. She was as poor as could be. And one day she went to the bank to get her pension. Because in Greece, it's not like here. You get it in the mail. You get it deposited in the bank directly. That doesn't happen there. You have to go to the bank, get your thing, and bring it home. And somebody stole her pension. You know what she said? That's okay. Maybe that person needed it more than I did. Now, is that humility or what? Is that meekness or what? Is that being content in Jesus or what? Most of us would have gone to the police and demanded and that's all the money she had to live for the rest of the month. God manifests himself in you. I don't care what label you put out here. That's why the Apostle Paul says that we are open epistles and people read us. You might be the only Bible people ever read. So make sure that your life projects the Lord. I know we're not perfect. We all make mistakes. But make sure that the bulk of your life, to say it that way, shows the Lord Jesus Christ. He emanates from you. And now, the Lord, pre-incarnate, would come to have fellowship with his creatures. Now, how long this period lasted since creation, we do not know. The Bible does not say. And we see the immediate results of sin here and the deception of the tempter, Satan. Listen to this. He promised them security, and instead, now they have insecurity. He told them they would not die, but now they flee for their lives. He promised them exaltation, but they see themselves now humiliated. He promised them wisdom, but now they see their foolishness. He promised them they would be as gods, but they see themselves as guilty. Oh, their eyes were open, all right, but not for the right things. And the devil is going to do that to you every time. They did not wish to be God's subjects. And this is why now they are Satan's prisoners. The Lord says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, right? Yes? So in Christ, we are free. No such thing with Satan. Satan enslaves you in sin. Whether it's cigarettes, whether it's sex, whether it's food, whether it's power and authority and fame and whatever. Money. Do you think that millionaires are free? They're not. They're slaves of their money. Their money is the taskmaster. Because the more they have, the more they want. People in power, you think they're happy? No, they're not. They are totally insecure. How many times haven't I met in the streets a drunk with a bottle and or the cigarette, somebody would see with that cancer stick. And they would say to me, if I wanted, I could stop right now. Oh, really? Stop. Stop. That's a lie. Maybe you think it's true, but Satan has been lying to you if you think it's true. Because sin enslaves you. You say, so what do we do? You want to know the solution to that? I'll tell you what you do. First of all, you put your trust in the Lord. Secondly, you read his word constantly. Third, you pray. And fourthly, you come to church every Sunday to see Pastor Alex. And fifthly, release it. Let it go. Like my aunt did. Oh, okay, they stole my money. Maybe that person needed it more than I do. If she wasn't free, nobody was free. What an example. Release it. And I'll tell you one thing so you know. I don't pull punches. There are pastors who are slaves to their ministry. They will not release even an inch to anybody unless somebody doesn't cross their T's or dot their I's the same way they do. I don't care. I don't care what kind of sign we have out there. Maybe the other logo was nicer. I don't care. I'm glad we have the sign. And I'm praying that many people will see it and come to church. That's the important thing. And thank you, Eddie, for doing that. And thank you, anybody else that worked in that. And I don't care if you paint the church pink. I could care less. The ministry is not mine, it's the Lord's. And the day I learned that, that's when I started being free and living in peace. So don't be slaves. Amen? Of your jobs, of your lusts, of your desires, of your plans, of your wants. Don't be slaves. Don't control your life or control other people. You'll be a slave as long as you do that. What does the Bible say? Control your cares? No, it says cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. What does it mean to cast? It means to toss. It means to give up. It means to release. Amen? And you'll find that many times other people can do a better job than you can in certain area. That's called trust. They did not wish to be God's subjects, and now they are Satan's prisoners. They tried to hide, but where? David says in Psalm 139, where shall I go to flee from your presence? If I go to the highest mountain, you're there. If I go to the deepest part of the sea, you're there. If I go to the most remote part of the earth, you're there. Even if I make my bed in hell, in Sheol, you are there. Instead of running to God, they try to escape from him. From the only one who can help them. And some people, they do the wrong thing and they stay away from church. Listen, you do the wrong thing, about come to church to get the problem solved. Now, why do I say come to church? Because here you're going to hear the word of God. Not because the church has the solution, but because God has the solution. Amen? That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to run away like Adam and Eve. David sinned many times. But one thing I must say about David, every time he blew it, he ran towards God, not away from him. Even if he had to face discipline, he went to God. Instead of running to God, they tried to escape from him, from the only one who can help them. Now we see they had remorse and shame, which proves there is for them the hope of salvation. It's a good thing they felt bad. You do something wrong and you feel bad, that's good. It would be a lot worse if you did something wrong and you didn't care. Indifference will kill you. Sin seeks company, as we said before, but they cannot comfort one another, and we see the break of their fellowship with God. Sin always impedes communion with a holy and pure God. God seeks out man, not man God. That's why we're told in Romans, there's none that seeks after God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God doesn't ask this question because he doesn't know where Adam is. He says, Adam, where are you? Do you think God didn't know where he was? Sure he did. But why does he ask the question then? Okay? How beautiful it is to see that God seeks man. He wants man to confess his sin. Where are you? How many times didn't children do that? They do something wrong, they go and hide. We know where they are. But we enter the room, where are you? Giving them the opportunity to say, I'm here, because we want them to do things right. And we did that, the same thing when we were little. We hid from our parents. God seeks man. He's interested in him, and there are no obstacles that could impede him to fulfill his rescuing work. What would have happened if the good shepherd had not sold his lost sheep? He would be like the fallen we would be like the fallen angels without hope. And thirdly here, man, because of his sin, loves darkness rather than light. What do? When we do something wrong, the first thing is we hide. Do you ever notice how all these nightclubs, known for the good lighting inside? Remember the bolero years? I don't know if you ever heard this. Y todo a media luz. Why media luz and not total luz? Because the less light you have, the less you can see, the more wrong you can do. Man heard God's voice, but was afraid because he was naked. That is, he recognized his condition and hid himself. This had never been a problem before when he was created in innocence. Now sin entered the scene and everything changed. This is where shame of nakedness originates. To be naked before another person other than a spouse is considered shameful in the Bible. That's why if you read the chapter 9 of Genesis, Noah did something wrong. In his old age, after the flood, he got drunk. And he prayed, he took off his clothes, you know. Any of you ever got drunk? Let me see how many angels I have in here. I got drunk 2-3 times before I was saved. One time I was so drunk in Minnesota, I jumped in a pool. And I didn't know how to swim. And I swam from one place to the other, drunk. When they told me, I couldn't believe it. Oh, I did my things. I wasn't born behind the pulpit. I got saved at the age of 25. So when you're going, I'm coming. Noah got drunk, took off his clothes, and his son, Ham, he was a ham, he comes in and he sees his father's nakedness and he mocks him and goes and tells his other two brothers, his two other brothers, Dad is naked, stark naked in his tent. What did the other brothers do? They took a sheet and they walked backwards and they covered their father. They never saw his nakedness. And when Noah came to, and found out what his son had done, he cursed his descendants. That's a shame. So be careful with that. Okay? Also, we see that man does not confess the root of the problem to God, but only the surface. He didn't tell him he disobeyed, only that he was naked. I'm naked. Really? Why? As if God didn't know, right? We can come to God naked, and not even with fig leaves, but clothed with the righteousness that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give us, and nothing else. As we said before, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the garment of salvation, as it says in Isaiah. It says, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. When you do something wrong, your own heart condemns you. And if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. So if your heart condemns you, how much more God? But if you come to him and confess your sin and admit what you've done wrong and ask for forgiveness from Him. If we confess our sins, it says, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will rather forgive than punish. And the punishment is not just to destroy us. The punishment is to correct us when we are His children. But you see how we descend from Adam and Eve? Now you understand why we do the things that we do? Because we have that nature. That's the old nature. But now, if we are in Christ, we have the new nature, and now we must walk according to the new nature. Amen? Am I getting through? Okay. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the salvation we have in Him and through Him. And I thank you, dear God, that you gave us the second nature when we were born again. Help us to always walk in obedience to you and your word. Walk in the Spirit, and we shall not fulfill the lusts of this wicked flesh. Thank you for your word that makes so clear everything about life, and above all, everything about you, or at least the things you want us to know about you. Bless, I pray, each person in this congregation, and be with us throughout this day and throughout this whole week. Help us to walk with you. Bless now, I pray, the offering that we're about to receive. Bless the cheerful giver. And dear God, I pray that you will increase this offering and also the blessings on each giver today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message and pray that the Word of God spoke to your heart. To listen to previous sermons, please visit us at www.cbttbc.com or anchor.fm/cbt-sermons.